Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
The Red Sox win again, but the Red Sox make you lose years off your life in doing so again. Up 5-2 in the ninth, all of a sudden, you're looking at 5-4 bases loaded and a guy with a 13-game hitting streak at the plate, but they survived. First time all year, 10 games over 500. So enough of this talk about selling off parts. Bye, Mortimer, bye. Let's do a podcast. Details afoot here on Sox Daily.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
As Dr. Evil said to that weird German chick in the original Austin Powers movie, it got weird. It got very weird at the end on Tuesday at Tampa Bay, but 5-4 Boston. And you wonder, what is the exact sound a team makes when it completely falls apart? Because the Tampa Bay Rays would like me to ask you that question. They have hit the skids just as the Sox are trying to hit their stride. Josh Lewin with you. Remember when the Red Sox were just eons behind the Rays in the standings? Well, now they have caught the Rays in the standings. In fact, they're one ahead in the loss column. This thing would get not quite ugly, but it certainly wasn't handsome as we kind of try to figure out what Tuesday was. The Red Sox are 5-0 at Tropicana Field now. That's tough to do. But Tampa Bay is not looking like a playoff team at all. They have lost 7 of 8. They're a Travis d'Arnaud Grand Slam away from being 0-8 in that time. They've lost 11 out of 18. Their stuff's falling apart. They're not getting any healthier. And they were up against Chris Sale on Tuesday night. We're going to kind of blast through some things here. It's a quick turnaround. You guys probably know the Wednesday game is a noon start with David Price on the mound, so that'll take a while. Angel Hernandez behind the plate, that'll hurt your head. And speaking of which, they expect a huge crowd. It's like Camp Kids Day. There's going to be 15,000 kids and 5,000 chaperones for the kids there, we're told. And they're giving out thunder sticks. I've already popped an Advil. Joe might not show up, but you know, you play the ball where it lies. Red Sox get to 56-46. They gain some ground. Very cool. I mean, even Cleveland unable to win. The Oakland A's are starting to falter a little bit. So the climb is going now. This was the number one batting average in the majors against the number one ERA in the majors. So that's an interesting battle. And Chris Sale against Yanni Chirinos is an interesting battle, I thought, as well. Chirinos is having a very good year. He's supposed to be one of those bulk guys. Now he's transitioned to actual starter. It's like when an angel gets his wings. And Yanni, not the weird Greek musician, but the pitcher from Venezuela, he stumbled in the first inning. Rafael Devers, another hard hit, and he had a couple of hard hits in this game. Now has a 943 OPS. He's atop the leaderboard in a lot of things right now. J.D. Martinez singled sharply. There was a wild pitch that scored a run. Benintendi knocked in a run in a two-run top of the first. And Chirinos just didn't really seem that comfortable or even that interested in even throwing pitches. It was very David Price-like in the top of the first. It stayed 2-0 till the bottom of the third. And Chris Sale had blazed through the first two innings. Struck out the side in the second. And he had four strikeouts through two. Slider looked very, very good. Fastball was still kind of 94-ish. I don't know that we'll ever see 98 from Sale this year. We did see a couple 97s later in this game. But in the third, with two out, nobody on. I mean, it had been eight up, eight down. And it was 34 pitches to get eight outs. But the next four outs would take 44 pitches. And on 0-2 to Mike Zunino. Yeah, Mike Zunino, 0-13, 7 punchouts career against Sale. Somehow, Zunino just would not be finished off. 0-2 grew to 3-2, and eventually Sale gave in and walked him. Only the second walk all year where a count had started 0-2 for Sale. It had been one walk and 83 strikeouts. But Zunino, number 9 hitter, 176 batting average, got that walk. Travis d'Arnaud goes behind 0-2, and homers to left. The first 0-2 pitch for a home run off Sale in a couple of years. Seriously. And the 18th home run he's allowed already this year. Last year he allowed only 10. D'Arnaud has done all of his hitting since joining Tampa Bay. That was their first hit. And on the very same date, by the way, in Tampa Bay Rays history, they had been victimized by a Mark Burley perfect game. That was a Dwayne Wise with the robbery at the wall, if you remember that. And a good trivia question. Who was the guy that hit that ball? It was Gabe Kapler. Yeah. Red Sox tie in there. So anyway, no perfect game because of a walk and a home run, 2-2 ball game. And it stayed that way for a while. Sale kind of swerving in and out of trouble. He had a 13-pitch marathon at bat with Tommy Pham in the fifth inning. And Pham finally doubled to right. Carlos Torres, the home plate umpire, had a miserable game, I thought. There were a couple times in that at bat, for example, where Pham should have been struck out. But you couldn't fan Pham. And you end up giving up the double. He got out of the inning, but the pitch count was way up there. We all thought he was done after five innings at 102 pitches. But Sale ended up on the mound for the sixth. And there was a walk to Matt Duffy. He did strike out the second baseman, Brousseau. And at that point, he's at 114 pitches. So, you know, Joe and I are looking at each other like, okay, he's definitely done at 114, season high. Alex Cora is coming to the mound. We start reading the pitching change break. And all of a sudden, there's Sale staying in the game. Gets one more out. And because he got that one more out, if the Red Sox would take the lead in the seventh, Sale would be eligible for win number five. And his ERA, by the way, now is at 4. See if he can get it under that now, finally. But season high, 114 pitches. They needed to grab the lead for him. They did. In the top of the seventh, Christian Vasquez pinch hitting. And boy, the Red Sox can pinch hit, huh? 21 for 56 with 5 home runs when Alex Cora decides to push that button. 16th home run of the year for Vasquez. No doubt about it, shot. And all of a sudden, you've got a 3-2 lead. 2 extra runs in the eighth, and you'd need them, as it turned out. RBI ground out from Andrew Benintendi. And then with the bases loaded, Jackie Bradley Jr. got hit by a pitch. That ended up being huge in this game because in the bottom of the ninth, after Brandon Workman had worked a 12-pitch eighth inning, it didn't go well in the ninth. It had been since May 14th since Workman had allowed as many as 2 hits in an inning, which is incredible. He would allow 2 hits and 2 walks in this inning. Again, no thanks to Carlos Torres and that terrible strike zone. But Matt Duffy started the inning by twisting a base hit to right. Mookie Betts did a nice job to go cut it off. And then it looked like it should have been a double play off the bat of pinch hitter Joey Wendell. Michael Chavis into the game at that point. Couldn't turn the double play. A bad feed to short and a double play not turned. Inning continues. There's a strikeout after that. And you're thinking, okay, we're never going to talk about that double play again. But it came up because Willie Adames comes up there. He's down 0-2. He works it to 3-2. And a guy who's 2-for-39 against the Red Sox this year, a guy that's got the most strikeouts in the majors over the last 4 weeks, somehow rallies to walk. And Workman is getting chapped because, again, that strike zone isn't real happy for him. Then G-Man Choi pinch hits and singles into center field, again after a strike three was not called. So it's the first time in more than 2 months it's a two-hit inning for Workman. He had given up 2 hits in his previous 15 innings combined. Here's 2 hits and not even 1 full inning. After he walked d'Arnaud, you've got the bases loaded. And Marcus Walden is summoned. Marcus Walden then walks Tommy Pham on 4 pitches. 5-4 ball game after Choi had made it 5-3 with his hit. Up comes Austin Meadows. And this guy's got a 13-game hitting streak on the line. But Walden, terrific. Gets him to bounce out to first. There's your ball game. We talked to Marcus Walden once it was over.
Now, Marcus Walden, who got the save, is with us. That was certainly an adventure in that ninth inning, Marcus. And you never know when you're going to be called because you got up before the sixth inning and just threw a few pitches. Sale stayed in the game. Then you come in with the game on the line. Your head must be spinning.
Yeah, I got up for the sixth. Sale wanted to go back out, which you got to give that man the ball. And he threw the seventh great for us. Barnes and worked through great. Work just had a couple pitches up and, you know, come in and try to close the door.
What did you know, if anything, Marcus, about Sale in terms of staying in basically twice, because we thought he was done just like you did at first, and then even mid-inning, we thought, okay, that's that. But what kind of sense, if any, did you get about any of that?
That's who he is, man. When he's got the ball, it's his day. You know, he's throwing the ball well. He's feeling good. You know, he kind of has that say, I feel like. If he thinks he can get that out, that's his job.
Well, certainly, Workman, if a double play been turned, would have been out of it easily. But were you surprised that you were needed there in that ninth inning?
No, I mean, I was watching the Works pitch count. Obviously, he only had, I want to say, 11 or 12 pitches in the eighth inning. So we knew he was going back out again. But I knew once he got up to 20 pitches that inning, it's time for somebody else to come in. And just fatigue, and he threw 44 his last game when he threw two innings and got the save. Obviously, we get that double play right there. It's a big out, and it saves some pitches for him.
They can't find announcers for saying this, so I'll say it so that you don't have to. It was a very tight zone, we thought, all night, and it was something I'm sure that was in your mind. What did Dana Lavangi have to say to you after that walk before you got the out?
Nothing. It's just game planning for the next at-bat. You know, once that bat's over, it's over. Obviously, we're still up one with Meadows, who's honestly one of their best hitters on the team. So just game planning and in and getting ready for that next at-bat.
So what was your plan of attack on Meadows? He started strike one, then he swung at the 0-1.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to go backdoor cutter, get ahead. I didn't throw any cutters the first at-bat to Pham. A lot of sinkers in that were down a little bit. But trying to elevate a fastball on the second pitch. Got in a little bit on him and got a ground ball to Vasquez.
And how about the Christian Vasquez, the pinch home run to put you ahead to stay?
I mean, just like last year, AC's been making some great moves, especially with pinch hitting. I want to say we're pinch hitting almost 500 right now. That's another big at-bat, put us ahead by one, and kept putting them on him.
All right, Marcus, congratulations. You'll be ready tomorrow, I'm sure, if you need it, huh?
Definitely.
Appreciate Marcus Walden in every way there. Second save of the year, but you know, the front office has got to know this. You've got to get another reliever in here. I don't mean call somebody up. I mean, you've got to trade for somebody. You just got to. You're going to kill poor Brandon Workman here. They're using him like it's the LCS or the World Series right now. And you know, this was a 44 pitch effort because they didn't trust anybody else. Matt Barnes did get in and he pitched a fine inning, but they just don't have enough right now, bullpen wise. Can they get Ken Giles, who's 15 out of 16 on saves for the Blue Jays? Got 57 strikeouts in 33 innings. Kirby Yates, if San Diego decides to sell, and of course he was originally Red Sox property, but he's only blown two saves all year. He's got 32 saves, 70 strikeouts in 43 innings. That would be a guy to go chase. But, you know, there's a lot of teams after that. There's a lot of teams in it right now, so not a lot of teams selling. And that becomes a problem. After the game, Alex Cora meeting the media. There was a lot to talk about.
He was good, man. Made some good pitches. Velocity was good. Just one pitch and another two count that I bat by Zunino, too, with two outs. But you know, he made pitches. I went out there to take him out, and he said he had three more pitches left, you know, to leave him out there. Actually, we were going to take him out in the fifth, and he said, I'm in a group. I got it. And trust the player, trust him. You know, he's healthy, which is the most important thing, and he was making pitches, so we trusted him.
How much do you like to see him have that kind of conviction? You know, when
he's been having conviction the whole season. It's just a matter of not executing pitches, but, I mean, I know he's being hard on himself, but in the group here, you know, he's a guy that shows up every day, prepares, and whenever he gets a ball, you know, we trust him. So, you know, the stuff was great. That's a good hitting ball club, and he made pitches and you know, did an outstanding job.
Can you take us through the kind of decision making and the options that you had in the late innings, especially the ninth, the decision to go with Workman for a second straight?
Yeah, he hasn't pitched in a while, so you know he cruised to the eighth. In the ninth, we don't turn a little play and we put ourselves in a bad position. We have to play better defense. We turned out a play, he's not in that spot. So, you know, people see the walks and everything that happened that we turned out a play and that game is over. So, you know, we trust the guy. He's been amazing the whole season. He's one of those guys that he can go multiple innings and we didn't make a play and it almost cost us the game.
Is this something you guys are looking to do with Ruckman and using for 20s if you have to?
It's something that now we got another option, you know, like tomorrow we'll stay away from work. We got Nate. We got Barnsey probably for one out. And that's the difference, you know. Like, now you got one extra arm, then you know that, you know, with stuff, you know, we don't have to rely on everybody. That's the difference, you know. Like, we made a decision going with Barnsey, and we worked with the meat of the lineup in the eighth. He did an outstanding job. I felt like, yeah, he can get the ninth. You know, he got a little bit hairy there. You know, it was kind of like tough, whatever, but we got the out and we move on. But tomorrow, obviously, he's going to be down, but we got Nate, we got Waldy, Barnsey for one, we got JT, we got Darwinson. So that's the difference compared to early in the season.
Fair to say that you didn't have Waldy.
I had him, but now, you know, in that spot, you know, I felt like that was good right there. I'm not going to bring him in the ninth inning there when we worked through the ball so well in the eighth.
Did you just not want to bring him into the middle of an inning? No,
I'm not going to bring him there. You know, it was him or just the matchups that we like. You know, Pham against Waldy is something that we've been doing the whole season, so we like that matchup.
Yeah, well, the decision with Christian there, when to use him there, kind of worked out perfectly there.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to stay away from Michael. That's why we didn't hit for Brock in the inning before, and we feel like the lefties were taking good hacks sincerely against him. But when, you know, when it was Mitch against him, I felt like it was a good match for him. If something happens, then we hit for Sandy in the ninth spot, and we got, you know, the first baseman and the catcher in those spots. So, yeah, he put a good swing. Flat through his zone, got on top of it, and hit the ball out of the ballpark.
You even said it was a goal when you got to 5 over .500, and you wouldn't say what your next goal was.
It seems like it's been an eternity to get to 10, but we know where we are now, you know. It seemed early in the season that those guys were way ahead of us. So, you know, if it's something that we learn, you know, that we can catch up with people, you know. We already won the series. We got David tomorrow. We got a chance to sweep and move on and go home, you know. It was just like I said yesterday, you win or lose, you got to turn the page. You know, we know where we at, and there's no hiding from it. But, hey, we won today, turn the page, be ready tomorrow. We got Charlie against David. Take our chances and go home.
To get back-to-back starts like you've gotten to open this series, how much does that set up everything else?
That was the script before the season. You know, everybody knows it. And one thing about our guys, if you look at their baseball cards and you look the back part of it, they've done it before, so we trust them. And I know they can do it again.
Have you had a pitcher talk you into staying in the game twice before?
Not really. I told him don't scream at me before I get to the mound, you know. Like, but I usually, when I'm like in between, I go to the mound, you know. And that one, I was like, you know, we like the matchup anyways. And I think we wanted Barnsey, but for a full inning, you know, it was going to be hard to bring him in, and then, you know, send him in the seventh. In the seventh, we were going to be in a tough spot, and, you know, the stuff was still playing. It's just a matter of, like, okay, you know, we're going to extend him. But he said it, 3 more pitches. I got 3 more, you know, and he's still have 1 more left.
Now, if it's, you know, 2-1 count, you're not taking him out, obviously.
No, he was. But he said it with conviction. I got 3 more pitches. I get him out. I'm like, okay. So he used to.
All right, thanks to Alex Cora for doing all that for us. Just kind of going through the lineup here. Mookie Betts, 1 for his last 13. Hopefully that turns around soon. Devers, no problems. 2 more hits. Bogaerts had a hit and a walk. J.D. Martinez starting to hit again. Second 3-hit game of the road trip was Tuesday night. Benintendi, a 3-hit game and a 2-hit game in Tampa Bay already. So all that starting to click. That's great. Bottom of the order did nothing except for when Vasquez hit the pinch hit a home run. But they did enough. They won 5-4. And do they have enough to go forward is the question. Last night I gave you guys some Steve Perry and Journey, Don't Stop Believing. Well, the quote from another band of that era, as we ponder whether or not they got enough now, only time will tell. And as Asia sang, I'm leaving now. It really comes as no surprise. I planned it all along because I got to get up early. It's a noon start on Wednesday. David Price on the mound. See what I did there? I gotta go. Josh Lewin, Sox Daily. Bye-bye.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.